What up? It is your girl, Kay Edie, the host of the Managing Chaos podcast, and we are here for another episode. Y'all, I just really enjoy just chatting it up, just this casual laid back, conversation with all of my listeners. So I'm just so excited to hop in. So today we're going to kind of talk about how students see you, because I'm a firm believer that in the area of classroom management, it is important for your students to see you a certain way, to view you a certain way. And it doesn't have to be bad. It doesn't have to be, she's the big bad wolf teacher. No, but it is important that they have a level of respect for you and who you are, the role that you play in their life. I think that is a large part of classroom management. And so it's like, well, what do you mean? How do we do that? It's so funny. The other day I had a parent-teacher conference, and one of my parents, she circled back with me, and her child, mind you, is probably one of the sweetest kids that I know. Super mannerable, a good listener, just super meek and lowly little kid. But I spoke to mom, she circled back. She said, "Can I tell you something?" And I said, "Sure." So she says to me, after conferences, I spoke to, my student, and I said, "Well, what are your thoughts on Miss Collins?" Y'all, I got the best compliment from this little boy. Something that I never thought about it like this, but he told his mom, he said, "She is 100% strict, but 100% nice." And I was like, ding, 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 ding. Yes. He gets it. He gets me. And by strict, so I kind of had to dig a little deeper, with that parent. And we got to talking, and strict not meaning that, I don't let them do anything. Strict and rigid are two different things. But what he was saying was strict, meaning we have rules, we have procedures that we must follow. They are non-negotiables, but we also have fun. We also get treats. We also get hugs. We also get to, work in groups, all the things that make learning fun and engaging. And when I thought about that a little while later, one, I took it as a major compliment, but also I got to thinking about just the idea of 100% strict. And so if we're thinking about managing chaos, 100% strict, again, we're talking about not so rigid that, kids can't move, but strict from the eyes of an 8-year-old, meaning there are rules, clear procedures that are followed all of the time. There are no gray areas. There is no ambiguity. Students know exactly what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And so when we think about that, we think about, well, how do we get students to know what to do, how to do it, when to do it, all those good things? Well, I think from my experience, it starts with consistency. It starts with the knowing what you want students to do, knowing what the rules and procedures will be, but then being consistent in that. And so once you teach them, you can't let it go. You have to keep it alive. So whatever you taught, the rules, procedures, they have to be held to the utmost regard, meaning you don't let any of those things slip. And it can be exhausting at first, but what I have noticed is that those first 2 to 3 months of school, critical time, where rules and procedures and expectations are taught, but then they're practiced over and over and over again. Y'all, I'm talking down to, okay, how do I ask to go to the restroom? So in my classroom, we use the letter B in sign language just so they don't disrupt the class when they're asking to use the restroom. And so I taught them that day one, and I do not let them do anything else to tell me that they have to use the restroom. So that means when a kid comes to me and says, "Can I go to the bathroom?" I tell them to show me what they need to do. and they have to go back to their seats and they have to give me that letter B in sign language. That's a small example, but I kept that alive so much at the beginning of the school year until now it is second nature for them. And so I approach all of my rules, procedures, expectations the same way, just holding it up before them, always practicing, and then giving those gentle reminders, because it's not like they're in trouble if they come to ask to use the restroom. It's just I'm giving them what I expect. I'm circling back to the procedure that we have in place so that you don't have 20 kids coming up to you all day asking to use the bathroom, because I'm convinced that things like that are a part of teacher exhaustion. We are humans. There's so much that, you know, that we have the capacity for. So if you think about teaching all day and, you know, engaging with students all day and just having to be on in a sense, it can be exhausting, but if we have certain rules, expectations, procedures in place, then it doesn't have to be exhausting. It could be and should be, dare I say it, fun. And so that goes to that 100% nice. I think that from my observation, again, managing chaos is just from my experiences in the classroom, but from my observation, that 100% nice, what he was talking about, because he described it as, you know, we get to play games and we get to work in groups and we get to come up to the board and we get to do all these fun, engaging activities and we're learning. An 8-year-old that thinks learning is fun, love it, but I'm convinced that the reason we are able to execute games and such engaging lessons within the classroom is because students are fully aware of the rules and procedures and the expectations. So then that leaves more room for creativity in my mind, because my mind is not clouded with, well, this kid is not listening and I got to manage this, got to manage that. No, now my mind is freed up. The space in my mind is freed up, my mental capacity free, so that I can think of fun and engaging ways to teach concepts to students. And then they're able to engage with that. Kids, my students at least, they love working in groups. Well, if there were no rules, procedures, no expectations, groups would be a mess and it would cause more stress than fun, especially for the teacher. And so as we think about 100% nice, I think it's just like the kid called it, 100% strict precedes 100% nice. So that means the rules, expectations, and procedures precede the ability to do all of the fun and engaging ideas that we come up with in our minds at home. And then, you know, for me, early on in my teaching, I was like, well, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to do that, because you're thinking of, well, logistically, how's that gonna work? And then you think about, well, behaviorally, you know, well, this kid can't handle it. This kid can't. No, they can if they know the rules and expectations up front. And so it's not giving just the expectations for that day, for that activity you're trying to implement, but it is letting them know from day one, rules, procedures, expectations. And then by day 50, you are sailing smooth. The chaos has been managed in a proactive manner so that you're able to get into the joy that brought you to teaching, which is actually teaching and the art of teaching. So 100% strict, 100% nice. It's Monday, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. So if you have not been 100% strict and 100% nice, or need to try to find that balance, it's never too late to start. I am a firm believer that it starts at the beginning of the year, but I've also seen little gaps in my own classroom management where I've had to circle back with kids and, you know, establish a new rule, a new procedure. And it's the same concept. You sit them down, you establish the rule, the procedure, the expectation, whatever it is that you're trying to convey to them. And then you keep it alive by practicing, by modeling, by giving them opportunities to try it out. So, you know, that one example would be if you have not established a procedure for sharpening pencils. Well, today is a great day to start. So decide what that should look like within your classroom. Tell students what they're doing. Show them what they're doing, and then allow them to practice. And then, you know, there's lots of different thoughts out there about intrinsic motivation and extrinsic motivation. I am a firm believer that extrinsic motivation does help students to rise to the occasion. I do not think that they should be given, external motivation all the time, nor do I think that that should be given for an extended period of time. But what I'm saying is it does help. So at the beginning of the year, when I'm teaching my students how to line up, how to sharpen pencils, how to use the restroom, we practice like as a class, and I painstakingly walk around and give every student a treat, a sticker, a piece of candy if they've done it correctly. And we do that, you know, consistently at the beginning of the year until, you know, the first few weeks in, and then you can kind of pull back on that. But what I'm saying is don't be afraid to give them a treat because they did a good job. It's not going to, ruin their ability to be intrinsically motivated. It's just basically giving them encouragement. So I encourage you, teacher, educator, friend, today to think about how your students see you. And if they are not respecting you or seeing you the right way, then it's never too late to make that change. Go completely 100% strict, 100% nice, and see what it does for you and your well-being, because educators matter, educators rock, and we do have the ability to manage the chaos.